In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Surprise, it's me, Deacon Deb, here to speak with the people today on this unusually rainy morning, but not near as bad as last Sunday. And this is Trinity Sunday meets Memorial Day. So we have lots of things to be thankful for. And special thanks to the beautiful decorations in memory of the people that we've lost and those who served with us and for us. Recently, I went to a clergy retreat with Father Albert, and we met the most delightful man, a retired bishop from Durham in England. He's a former Archdeacon of Canterbury. So this is a really cool man, very cool. And he gave a wonderful message, and it started like this. There was a convent, and there was the Mother Superior. She was laying dying, and all the sisters were gathered around her. And the youngest little novitiate came up and said, "Oh, Mother, is there anything we can get for you?" And she said, "Oh, I'd like some milk." So the novitiate runs out, and she gets the milk. And then she says, "Oh, the vicar always puts a little whiskey in it. I think I'll do that." And she said, "Oh, you know, she needs a special treat. I'll give her a little more." So she comes out and she gives it to the mother. And the mother takes a sip. And then she takes another sip. And then she drinks it all down. And then a little time passes, and another sister says, "Oh, Mother, do you have any final words for us? I'd like to hear them." And the mother says, And she gets up on her elbow, and she looks out the window, and she points outside, and she says, "Don't sell that cow." The whiskey cow, I guess. So the Trinity is the basis for our whole Christian life, our belief in God, and it's very relevant in the world today. I saw an explanation of the Trinity, happened to catch it in a little children's faith-based catalog. It was a picture of a candy corn. And the candy corn is like the Trinity. It's a triangle. There's three different things, three different colors, three different components, but it's all one candy corn. It has unity. The parts are all different, but they're equal. And they're all interacting, and they depend on one another. So they're all unique. They're equal, spiritual unity. So, who knew that a candy corn was Christian? And as you notice, in today's gospel, the Trinity is the basis of it. And we've heard probably the most well-known verse, John 3:16, which I know you guys are all familiar with. It's probably the most well-known verse, certainly in all the New Testament. But the background of it was his chat with Nicodemus, who was a leader of the Jews. He's a Pharisee. You know, they weren't too fond of Jesus. But Nicodemus knew something was different about this Jesus. He came and asked him, and he said, "I know you must come from God because nobody could do the things that you do." And Jesus responded with the story about the wind. Nobody knows where it goes, where it's going to go next. And how are you going to be able to believe? You don't believe the things that I do. How will you believe these things that you can't see? And then Jesus referred to the pole that Moses had. Do you remember that? We had it this year, where a brass pole with a snake on the top of it, Moses held up because the Lord had sent serpents down, and they were biting all the people, and the people were dying. But the Lord took mercy, because they had been very disobedient. That's why he sent the serpents. And he gave Moses a tool to help heal the people. And if they looked at the serpent on the pole, they would be healed. And Jesus equated his own life with, this is what's going to happen to me. I'm going to be on a pole, the cross, and people will look at me, and they will be healed, and they will have eternal life. And then there's that famous John 3:16. So why don't you say it with me? For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And then what follows is really vital. Because he said, I did not send Jesus into the world to condemn the world, but to save it, which is a totally different kind of thing. So we have all the elements of the Trinity. We have God the Father and Creator. We have Jesus, the Son and Savior. And we have the Holy Spirit, the wind, the fire, the hope in the world today. And it all equals love. So we have that first main point. We must believe. Nicodemus believed. He believed that Jesus was from God. And we believe and we say our creeds every Sunday. We have the Apostles' Creed, which is the ancient creed, and it's for baptism. That's how we become a Christian. It's also used for ordinations. And it's, I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. I believe in the Holy Spirit. And then there's the Nicene Creed, which we say almost every Sunday, which was established in 325 at the Council of Nicaea. And it's, we believe in one God. We believe. And we sing or say affirmations about belief in the Trinity every Eucharist. And we sang it today when we walked in with holy, holy, holy. Lord God Almighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. And God willing, we're going to hear it again. This is the third time, and God has to be willing now. We're going to have St. Patrick's breastplate be the first hymn in communion, which is used often in baptisms and at ordinations. And it was mine when I was ordained 4 years ago this week. So, whoop, whoop. And it says, bind me unto myself today the blessed Trinity. So we'll be bound to Jesus, and what a beautiful day for that, with Memorial Day and Trinity Sunday. So then you know, we heard the wonderful reading from Peter, from Isaiah. And Isaiah, he was a prophet. And remember, in the Nicene Creed, we always say the Holy Spirit spoke through the prophets. So he was speaking through the prophet Isaiah. And Isaiah heard God say, whom am I to send? And Isaiah answered, send me. Which brings me to the second point. Answer the call. Isaiah answered the call. He had his lips cleaned. He was ready. And as the people from the Hebrew Bible and the people of the New Testament were admonished 20 times of what they were supposed to be doing over and over, 20 passages said, take care of the defenseless, such as widows, orphans, the alien, and the poor. And it's a call we must answer today. Love our neighbors as ourselves. That was a direct message from the Lord God. Our soup kitchens, our homeless shelters, the bereaved, the ill, those suffering from addiction, the elderly, orphans, those are our daily actions. Our answer to God's call. I see the people of St. Benedict's answering these needs every day. One of those things are the lay Eucharistic ministers. Every Sunday we pray for them to take communion out to the people who are ill or unable to come to church. Thank you, Peter. Thank you, Nella. Thank you, Tyson and Winston. Who all is a lay Eucharistic minister? Raise your hand. And Sadie. Such a special gift. And they answered God's call. They don't have to go every Sunday. They go usually once a month and bring the body and blood of Christ to the people who can't be here so that they can be in communion with us and with Christ. And so many of you have bought canned goods. When Jubilee put the message in the bulletin that their shelves were bare, you guys responded. You answered the call. I finally put a box out there because there were my car. I live in Hollywood, and that's where Jubilee is. So I said, oh, I'll take it because I, oh, right over there, I'll go. And my car has been filled to the brim almost every Sunday since we put that in there. So thank you for answering that call. And another way you can participate with them is that, surprisingly enough, they have a wonderful Italian dinner that's going to be a fundraiser on June 23rd. And it's put on by the Men's Club of St. John's, which is the church I came from and where Father Matt and Cheryl were. I was there for 20 years, so they kind of trained me to be an Episcopalian. So it has a place in my heart. But this is for everybody. And the Men's Club puts it on. There's four people in the Men's Club. So they answer a big call. They cook, they donate the food, and they serve. So you know they're answering a call. So I have tickets, so please come see me. And then we have our own Father Nyanya, John Nyanya. I always say Father Nyanya so I can remember it. But he really answered God's call. He's from Kenya, and there were kids that were orphans, and they were orphaned by AIDS. So he started a school for them. He started with a few kids, and now he has 160 children that are being educated that people would have thrown away. And he has musical instruments for them, thanks to the people answering his call for things that he needs for the school. I know St. Benedict's has done marvelous things for them. And it's our mission of the month. So please put something in the box for John answering the call. What a faithful person. The ministry is called Rafiki, which means friend in Kenya. And I listened to God's call about 10 years ago on a very rainy Easter day, and I heard, heal my people. Well, it was a pretty long and arduous trip, as some of you that have known me for a long time know. There were lots of obstacles, and it wasn't easy, but the call was clear, and I had to follow it, knowing that God had called me. Not easy to be faithful when it seems that that's not, everybody's not going on the same path as you. But along the way, I helped widows and other people with grief because I was a widow. I did prison ministry, Kairos ministry, not because I was in prison, but because God called me to that. Someone said, oh, just come to the meeting. You don't have to be a member. Oh, yeah. Hook. Kairos. My son calls us, some people called it, once you're in Kairos, you're a Kairos junkie. And I never really liked that one. And he goes, well, Mom, that's because you're a Kairos practor, which is a lot better. And also, I worked for hospice. I have an advertising degree. I sold radio and print. I never in my wildest dreams thought that I would be talking to people at the hardest time of their life, but it's the best job I ever had. Because you know, it made a difference, and the people could feel comfortable at a time when they're the most uncomfortable. Now I'm a volunteer chaplain at Joe DiMaggio. A lot of people can't do that because it just tears them apart to see little children ill. I don't like to see children ill either, but that place is fabulous. They saved my little girl, and she's 32 now with two little kids of her own, and if it wasn't for them, she wouldn't have been past 12. So I believe in that place, and I know that God called me to do that. And also, well, we're going to have I participate in the labyrinth, and we're going to have a labyrinth, which is an incredible healing tool. We're going to have it right outside. We're going to have a permanent one. We have a nice, beautiful, portable one that Jerry Mawinney has put together, painted it. It's wonderful, but it's pretty restrictive because you have to be sure the space is available and put it out. And this way, this will be accessible to all. And it's moving meditation. It helps you become closer to God. And it helps you discern problems. It helps you de-stress. And it's a huge healing tool. And it will bring much healing to this place. And the fact that we have 92 ministries of AA, NA, and Al-Anon going on every week in this place, you don't think that that's why we have such success being a holy place? Because we're doing God's work every single day, many times a day, and helping people that are stepping forward and saying, I need help. I came here, I was in Al-Anon for 6 years here, and I went to places, I went to six rooms before I found one that I felt comfortable in. And it made all the difference in my life. And who knew years later, this would be my home. So, and recently, I just accepted working for Social Justice Committee in Broward, which I kept putting off. I kept, oh no, I'm too busy. I've got this, I've got that. I can't go. I got a meeting. I got a little. But I can't not go. The call was too persistent, and it didn't go away. And things are happening now. If I don't stand up, somebody that cares, who's going to? So you have to, sometimes the calls are not what you had picked out in your wildest dreams. My mother still goes, I give her my sermons sometimes or what I'm doing, and she says, I just can't believe the way you've turned out. And I said, well, Mom, you set a great stage. It just took me a while to be on this path. So has the Holy Spirit been asking you to do something lately? It can be something big. It can be something really small. But what you think is small might be huge to somebody else. Like, make that call. Or send that note to somebody that you've been thinking about. Smile. Hug somebody. It may be just the thing that they need. Maybe this weather has got them way down. Maybe they've been feeling poorly. You didn't see them the last week? Give them a buzz. Say, oh my gosh, I missed you. How are you doing? And that donation you've been meaning to bring, or that check you've been meaning to write, bring it on. And that ministry you've been ducking? Anybody out there? Something's been pulling at you? Go for it. It will make all the difference. God needs you. The world needs you. The hungry of Jubilee need you. They're reaching out. And the little children of Rafiki need you. Your neighbor needs you. The Holy Spirit works mysteriously and persistently. And you know that these calls are transformative. And they're based in love, God's love. And my third and final point is be transformed. And the great thing about being transformed, you don't do it. God does it because you answered the call. And God takes care of that. When I'd go into prison, we would just be the hands and feet and be Christian and love. But God does the transforming. He makes the people have hope. But it's because we answered a call that there could be something happening. And it always transformed us as well. So go to Crucio, answer that call. You will be transformed. And that's exactly what Presiding Bishop Michael Curry was preaching about in his sermon last week at the royal wedding to Meghan and Harry. God is love, and the world can be transformed through that love. The bishop said, in case you missed it, I'll just do a little bit, love is not selfish and self-centered. Love can be sacrificial, and in so doing becomes redemptive. And that way of unselfish, sacrificial, redemptive love changes lives, and it can change this world. If you don't believe me, just stop and imagine. Think and imagine a world where love is the way. Imagine our homes and families where love is the way. Imagine neighborhoods and communities where love is the way. Imagine governments and nations where love is the way. Imagine business and commerce where love is the way. When love is the way, then no child can go to bed hungry. When love is the way, poverty will become history. And when the love is the way, the earth will become a sanctuary. Because when love is the way, we actually treat each other like family. And Bishop Curry didn't stop there when he talked in front of 3 billion people about love and about Jesus. It was he and his sermon were the biggest event from the wedding on Twitter. That is huge. And so he went on talk shows and he talked about love and he talked about Jesus. He organized a prayer vigil to go to and for the White House to pray and talk about love and Jesus. He is a genius for Christ, and he continues to answer God's call. He was transformed into a celebrity for Christ by exposing 3 billion people to the love of Christ and to the Episcopal Church. It's not enough to talk. We must believe and do. Like Nicodemus, he came to talk, but then he believed. And then he answered God's call and he defended Jesus against the other leaders. He stood up and he spoke for him. And then he was transformed because he was the one that helped Joseph of Arimathea take Jesus down from the cross and help prepare him for the grave. And another excerpt from Bishop Curry, he said that Jesus didn't get an honorary degree for dying. He didn't get anything out of it. What he did is he gave up, he sacrificed his life for the good of others, for the world, for the well-being of all of us. That's what love is. And this Memorial Day, we're reminded of the ultimate sacrifice our servicemen and women have made for us and for our country. That's love. They are remembered. We also take this time to honor all men and women who have served so faithfully for our country and for us. Thank you. Thank you. You are loved and appreciated. Because you answered a call. And it's not an easy call. I never had to go, but I know a lot of you have. and I appreciate every single thing that you did for us. So believe, answer God's call, and you'll be transformed. You have to listen, love, and follow God's lead. Honor one another and the world we live in. Glory to God, whose power working within us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.